Okay, for those of us who have had the zchut of living in Eretz Yisrael, we know that Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzmaut do not always come out on Dalet and Hey Iyar. That there is a takana of the Knesset that Yom HaAtzmaut will never come out on a Thursday to prevent Chilul Shabbos post Yom HaAtzmaut. And Kadosh Baruch Hu arranged it that Yom HaAtzmaut and Bahav will never coincide. But there is a date that is universal for Yom HaAtzmaut, for Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzmaut, and that is during the week of Tiferes, that Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzmaut always come out during the week of Tiferes, Sfiras HaOmer. Tiferes is a midah which is very, very unique, a midah of balance, of symmetry, of harmony between Chesed and Gvura. Rav Kook in his Olas Re'iya on the pasuk Hashem Oz Li'amo Yitain, Hashem Yevorech Es Amo Bashalom, points out that Shalom doesn't stem from uniformity, that Shalom stems from that balance, that symmetry between opposing midot. Ki tiferes uzamo ato. Oz and tiferes are synonyms. Ki tiferes uzamo ato. Hashem oz lamo yitain. Hashem has given us this ability of tiferes. Ezo derech yishara sheyavar lo ha'adam. Kol shehu tiferes la'oseha v'tiferes lo min ha'adam. That's the midah of Yaakov Avinu, the Chir Ha'avos. In the world of Sheshes Yimei Bereishis, Tiferes is the third day of Bria, Tad Shei Ha'aretz Deshe, Eitz Pri, that organic growth is a manifestation of Tiferes, that a plant has to be rooted in one place, that the rootedness limits the motion, limits the movement, that's a Gvura, and then it can be Tzomeach, and then you have the Chesed, then you have the growth, that harmony between the Gvura and the Chesed, that's what brings about growth. And so here also, we have Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzmaut, we have a sense of Gvura and Chesed that combined as a Tiferes. Everyone is aware that there's a very, very axiomatic Gemara in Brachos, on the bottom of the Hei Amad Aleph, Tanya, Rav Shimon Bar Yochai Omer, Shalosh Matanos Tovos Nosan HaKadosh Baruch Hu LiYisrael, Torah, Eretz Yisrael, and Olam Haba, V'kulan Lo Nosnan Elo Ayidei Yisurim. A Matana is Chesed, Yisurim is Gvura. Kadosh Baruch Hu predicates the Chesed on a Gvura. The greater the Chesed, the more need there is for a hakrava, for yisurim, for a gvura. And so Yom HaZikaron is a day of hakara satov, and Yom HaAtzmaut, we'll speak about, my humble opinion, is a day for hakara satov. The Yom HaZikaron is hakara satov to those who served as our gvura, who went through the yisurim for us, that predicates the Chesed, and then Yom HaAtzmaut is Akaras HaTov to Kadosh Baruch Hu for the Matana Tova. Shalosh Matanos Tovos Nosna Kadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael V'kulan Lo Nosnan Ela Ayidei Yisurim. There is a shiur, I think it's on Wayu Torah, it's one of those early shiurim of the Rav when he was still giving a shiur in Yiddish, in which he distinguished between Bracha Me'ein Shalosh and Birkas HaMazon, between the Bracha on Shiva Saminim and the Bracha on bread, the Bracha on an immediate pleasure, Hanoa Miyadit, and the Bracha on that which one had to be Toreach in order to bring about. The difference between the Kibush of Yoshua and the Kibush of Ezra, between a Lashaita and a Lo'asid Lavo, that Kedusha stems from Korbanos, difference between Har Sinai and Har HaMoriah. Har HaMoriah retains its Kedusha, that Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to be a Shutaf in Kedusha, where a Shutaf in Kedushas HaZman. Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim, we're shutaf in Kedushas Kedushas HaChomer in terms of Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzah, and certainly in terms of Kedushas Makom, we're shutvim, that's Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, but that shutvus comes about via Korbanot, via Yisurim. Just to share with you two ma'asim that I've shared with you in the past, but I share them every year. One is that I heard many years ago from Rav Nevenzahl Shlita, that Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach, who was Rosh Yeshiva, Yeshivas Kol Torah, was approached by Talmidim that they wanted to take a day off from the yeshiva in order to go up north to daven al kivrei tzadikim, that Klal Yisrael needed yeshuas. Tefillah brings about yeshuas, tzadikim, makom shek tzadikim nikbarim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu views that as a unique skula for yeshuas. So they wanted to go up north. They wanted to go to Tveria. They wanted to go to Tzfat, to Amuka, to daven for Klal Yisrael. And Rosh Shlomo Zalman told them that he thinks that their desire to daven a kivrei tzadikim is a very, very proper desire. But why spend an entire day going up north? Just walk across the street. Just walk across the street from Yeshivas Kol Torah to Har Herzl. There are hundreds of tzadikim. There are hundreds of kedoshim who are buried there. You don't have to necessarily go up north. When we speak about Yisurim, Yisurim aren't only of the individual who was Moser Nefesh. The Yisurim relate to the family. Yitzchak was the Akedah. Yitzchak was the Korban. But by Sarah, it's Parcha Nafsha. And those of you who just came back from Har Herzl, or those who will be going later to Har Herzl, or those who will be going at some point, it brings the families in Nechama to know that there are many who identify with them, who empathize, who feel with them, who feel their pain as well. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Baruch Hashem, is not asking us to be a Yitzchak, but he is asking us to feel like a Sarah. You all know that I wasn't born in Eretz Yisrael. I was born in the Bronx. I had an acquaintance who was also brought up in the Bronx. She was my age. Her name was Esther. Her name is Esther. And we both came on Aliyah. I married an Israeli girl, and she married an Israeli young man. His name was Yehuda Waxman, Yehuda and Esther Waxman. Baruch Hashem, Akash Baruch Hu, enabled my wife and I to have a mishpacha baruchat yiladim, and the Waxmans had seven children, seven boys. The first two boys, I mentioned that Esther was a neighbor of mine in the Bronx, but she wasn't born in the Bronx. She was born in a DP camp in Germany. And so the first two boys were named after grandparents who she didn't know. Her father's father and her mother's father, those were the names of the first two boys. The third boy was born on Shvi Yishol Pesach. So they named him Nachshon ben Aminadav. That's Shvi Yishol Pesach, Kriyas Yamsuf. And in Tavshin Nun Hei, right, it was still 1994. Nachshon came home for Sukkot. He was given a break. He was in the Givati unit in the north. His two brothers had served in Givati. And I remember the days like they're today. On Tuesday, he went back to his unit, but he never got to his unit. Actually, he went on Monday. On Tuesday, the family got a note from the terrorists, Yimach Shemam, who kidnapped him, that he's in their hands, and unless X number of terrorists are going to be freed from prison, murderers are going to be freed from prison, they're going to murder Nachshon Waxman, with it set a deadline of Thursday, they moved the deadline to Friday. I think that all of us who were here in Eretz Yisrael at that time remember that Esther asked all the women in the world to light candles that Friday night. Even women who normally didn't, unfortunately, light candles. And there were 100,000 people at the Kotel that Friday night davening. Klal Yisrael came to the Kotel. 100,000 people, men and women, came to the Kotel Friday night to daven. And unfortunately for us, there was a military operation that evening to try and free him from the captivity, Sacher Kol, 10 minutes away from his parents' home in Ramot. And the commander of the force was killed. And Nachshon Waxman also was killed. And I remember, we lived very close to them originally. They lived in Marot, they lived in Arzei Abira, we lived in Marot Dafna, we davened together, Yehuda and I. And so I went to Menachem Avil. And I remember his telling me that although we say, and I do feel we believe, that Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't bring a nisayon on a person unless he's strong enough to deal with it. So Yehuda told me that he's seen people who weren't strong enough to deal with the nisyonos that were given to them. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped him in a very interesting manner. He said, I don't know why, but since I was a child, even before Bar Mitzvah, I always said Parshas HaKedah every morning. Who says Parshas HaKedah every morning? Right? We say Birkos HaShachar, if we're like really into Mishneh Berurah. So we say parts of Karbanos. Some of us say a little more spiritual, Zechana B'Koach, Parshas HaKedah. We know Parshas HaKedah. So we go straight to Lefikach. He said Parshas HaKedah every day. And he said, that's why when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted me to bring an HaKedah, I could. HaKadosh Baruch Hu prepared me for my HaKedah, that he had me say the Parsha of HaKedah every day. Those are Korbanos. And that's in this Hakaras HaTov we have to the Korbanos and to their families. I don't think that there's anyone living in Eretz Yisrael who doesn't have a relative who gave was Moser Nefesh for Klal Yisrael. What I'm about to say now, I'm not certain that it's true, but I feel it. When they announced the number of people for whom Yom HaZikaron were to remember, the number was 24,068. The number 24,000, Kaftalad Elef, at this time in Sfira, is a very, very, bone-chilling number of the Kaftalad Elef Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, Shalokib Duzo Etzo, and died in the Magefa at this time. And many of us know that the Ari viewed it, that these Kafdalad Elef were Gilgulei Neshama of the Kafdalad Elef that died in the Magefa by Benos Midya. I'm not a Makubal. Yomo was in tears to tell me I should speak Nistar. I'm not a Makubal, but I heard from someone who does understand that Yitachin, that everything requires tikkunim, and we're in an era pre Ikrasa, we're in Ikrasa the Mashiach, pre Moshe Mashiach, tikkunim have to come. That according to the Ari, the Kafdalad Elef, in the time of Benos Midyan, they forgot what it meant to be an Eved Hashem, got into Arayos, got into Avodah Zarah. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu sent them back as a Gilgul to be Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, to learn from Rabbi Akiva what it means to be an Eved Hashem. And b'emet, they were Talmidim. They were the recipients of Torah Sheba Al Peh. When they died, Rabbi Akiva had to go and find substitute, Shisha Talmidim Badaram, substitute for the 24,000 that should have been the Chachmei Anasara, but they didn't feel, that they didn't get from Rabbi Akiva that which Rabbi Akiva had uniquely to offer them in terms of a sense of the integrity of Klal Yisrael. Shalokib du ze etze. That there wasn't that sense of achdus that there should have been in the Beis Medrash, that sense of achdus that there should be with a chavrusa. And so I heard from a Mekubal that Akash Baruch Hu sent it back to the world, to be to our generation, and these neshamos now were metaken. They were mekabel the yisurim for Klal Yisrael. They put themselves voluntarily into a situation where they knew that they were bringing moser nefesh for Klal Yisrael. If it's true, I don't know if it's true. In other words, I looked up, from when do they count these 24,000? 24,000 aren't counted from the War of Independence. The 24,000 aren't even counted from the Balfour Declaration. The 24,000 are counted from the year 1860. 1860, by us, is not a special year. It's a year that many people began to come to Eretz Yisrael, but the Talmidim of the Gra already came in 1840. That was Tafresh. That was 5,600. That's what the Kol HaTor, the Gra said, it's the beginning of Ikvasa de Meshicha, the Friday afternoon. Friday is the sixth day, and the sixth hour is afternoon, and we're in that Friday afternoon, moving towards the end of the Sheshes Alfei Shana, and the 24,000 began from that time. Okay, so we should feel the Hakara Satov, feel it inwardly, if we can express it externally. That's, you know, it's all the more, but that's in Rahman Alibaboy. We should feel the Hakara Satov internally. Moving over to Yom HaAtzmaut, I think that we're all aware, very, very aware, that in the religious community, there are many opinions as to how to relate to the Medina in general and how to relate to Yom HaAtzmaut in particular. If you recall the Ramban in Parshas B'Shalach, the Ramban spoke about the fact that Chazal say that B'nai Yisrael, when they were standing by Yamsuf, were kitot kitot. They were trying to figure out how they're supposed to relate to a situation that they're in which the water is in front of them, the mitzvim are behind them, to the left and to the right, there are mountains and there's desert. What are they supposed to do? So the Ramban speaks about two main kitot, one of whom davened, and on them HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Matitzak Elai, and the other who rebelled. In other words, there aren't enough kfarim in Mitzrayim that we had to be brought here to die in the Midbar. But if you look in the Medrash Rabbah, you see that there appears to be four kitot. There were those who said that we should daven, and those that said that we should surrender, and those that said that we should flee, and those that said that we should fight. They didn't know what the situation required of them. So, who adin? Nowadays, I think that there are four kitot in terms of how to relate to the establishment of the State of Israel. We have the view of Rav Kook, and we have the view of the Satmar Rebbe, the view of, for lack of better terminology, I don't like to put people into boxes, but the view of the Haredi world as a whole, and a view that I'd like to present to you that I feel is the view of Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Dessler, which in my humble opinion, I identify with. But I just really want to stress that, as we pointed out, we're currently in a period of Sfiras HaOmer, in which we have Nihuge Aveilus over the Talmidim Rabbi Akiva, who died in the Magefa because Lo Kibdu Zo Et Zo. So I think that we have to keep in mind that all of the opinions stem from a sincere desire to do Ritzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we should respect all the opinions, even if we choose one particular one for ourselves. But all of the opinions are we really come out of a ratzon to be avdei Hashem. So in brief, the Satmar Rebbe in his Al HaGeula v'Al HaTmura feels that we're dealing with a Maisa Satan. We're dealing with a trap. We're dealing with a nisayon. Just like Adam and Chava, by the Eitz Hadaat, Nechmat Lamare, it looked enticing, it looked delicious, but Hashem said no. And so also, when we went out into Golus, the Gemara in Ksuvus on Daf Kuf Yud Aleph points out that we took three oaths, Gimel Shavuos, and one of them is Lo Yalu Bechoma, that we're not going to return to Eretz Yisrael by force, by our own initiative, that we're supposed to wait. We should have patience to wait for Mashiach. That's the message of Hashem. That was the message of Hashem, according to the Orach Chaim, by the Pre-Eitz Hadas, the Orach Chaim in Parashas Kedoshim, and the Parasha of Orla, says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Adam and Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas, but not when they ate from it. Not in the seventh hour. They were supposed to wait until Friday night. It was Yom HaShishi. They were supposed to make Kiddush on that fruit. That fruit may have been a Geffen, and it was meant to be Kiddush. It was meant to bring about a Geula. But when jumps the gun, one can lose everything. So the same way that the Orach Chaim explained the Pre-Eitz Hadas, and that the mitzvah of Orla is to be machapir on the schet of Adam and Chava, to wait, to have patience, to wait for 3 years, and then to bring the fruit, it's Kodesh Hilulim. So that's how the Satmar Rebbe viewed also the Medina. The Medina is a passing illusion. Currently, to be Nene from the Medina, that's a rebellion against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If one looks at the terminology of Aliyah, to call the Olim Ma'apilim, it wasn't a coincidence that the Ma'apilim, they rebelled against the Gzeira of Hashem. Hashem wanted them to be in the Midbar 40 years, and they rebelled. They wanted to go in right away. They wanted instant gratification. And so just as Eitz Hadas was a problem, and just as the Ma'apilim were a problem, so also the Medina. That and Yom HaAtzmaut is a day of Avelus. It's a day to tear Kriya. Okay, that's one approach. There's another approach we'll call it the classic Haredi approach. And that is that we're not dealing over here with a Maisa Satan per se. That we're dealing over here with a nationalistic movement, a secular nationalistic movement that was Herzl's baby, that Herzl felt that if we had a state, if we had self-determination, then that which he saw around him, the Dreyfus trial, having a Jew being framed, being tried for treason as a scapegoat, the pogroms in Kishinev, that which was occurring as he was a newspaper reporter, that this could all be solved if we had our own state. But we're dealing with a secular movement, a godless movement, and a movement of Kochi V'Otzem Yadi, Lios Amchavshi Ba'artzenu. Sometimes one can cringe when one listens to a prime minister, or one listens to a chief of staff speak about how we're going to solve our problems, we're going to kill the terrorists, we're going to bring peace. It's very, very frightening, the hubris, the yuhara. And so when you're dealing with a secular movement, that's the wrong direction. And so the reaction should be one of just ignoring it. It's just, it's not us. It's not our baby. It's not our concern, other than the fact that we live here and so we have a government. And so, you know, we can even participate in the government, but it's not a Jewish government. It's a secular government, and so we'll just ignore this day. It doesn't talk to us. It's a day. If it's a Thursday, right? So then, you know, where it's we'll just, you know, say urachum. You know, it's just to go through. I'm sorry, when I spoke earlier, I mentioned that it doesn't come out on a Thursday. It doesn't come out on a Friday to prevent Chilul Shabbos. It can move to a Thursday, but then when it moves to a Thursday, it's always before Bahav. That's the second approach. And, you know, it's certainly an approach that a lot of Gedolei Torah have taken. The third approach is that of Rav Kook, which is the opposite of Satmar. That we're not dealing over here with a Maisa Satan, we're dealing with an Aschalta de Geula. We're dealing with a Reishis Smichas Geula Seinu. That the three Shvuas are null and void. One of those Shvuas, two of them were to us. Shelo Yagu Bachoma, Velo Yimrdu Ba'umos, but one of them was to the Goyim, Shelo Yishabdu Es Yisrael Yoser Midai. And since they didn't keep their side of the bargain to allow us to live peacefully among them, then the bargain is off. There requires a mutuality, and there's no mutuality over here. A. B, that nationalism is not a secular movement. Nationalism, that there should be a Jewish nation in Eretz Yisrael, is a Jewish ideal. That's part of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, that Kosh Baruch Hu wants us to be not just Jews who keep Torah, but to be a Torah nation. A Torah nation needs land, and the Kosh Baruch Hu gave us that land, and it needs a government, Shoftim V'Shotrim, Sanhedrin, it needs a Melech. It's intrinsically important. You're talking over here about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu's ultimate Ratzon is, what we saw that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ratzon was. Yemei David v'Shlomo. The secular Zionists, like to use Shlomo Karlbach's holy brothers, so the secular Zionists, they're holy rebels, but they're rebels, and achinami, they're rebelling against HaKadosh Baruch Hu in their secularism, but they're holy in their nationalism. Namely, they reject Torah, but they reconnect us to our national side, that to reestablish Jewish sovereignty in Eretz Yisrael. That's part of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and it's a necessary step, not in the wrong direction. It's a necessary step in the right direction, and then it's up to us, right, the Dati hyphen Lu'umi, to connect that nationalism, to connect the Lu'umi with the spirituality, and then 1 + 1 = 2. If we take the nationality and we take the Torah and we put them together, so then it ends up with Mashiach, Beis HaMikdash, and then so Yom HaAtzmaut is a day of Hallel V'Hodah, that it's a tremendous step in the right direction. And this process, in Rav Kook's eyes, is a guaranteed process. Namely, there may be temporary ups and downs, like in every process. Even when Yehoshua conquered Eretz Yisrael, there was an ay, and there was a step back, and there had to be the, you know, it said that there are ups and downs, but it's all moving in one direction. So it's not a day of Kriya. It's not a day of Tachanun. It's a day of Hallel V'Hodah. The fourth approach simply in terms of that which has been written begins with a letter of Rav Dessler. I printed it out to you. I sent it out also on the email. If one looks at just who Rav Dessler was, Rav Dessler was a Talmud of the Musar school of Kelm, and he went to England, and he established a kollel in Gateshead, and then he became the mashgiach of the Panovich Yeshiva in Bnei Brak. And after he passed away, then his Divrei Torah and his letters were gathered by Talmidim, Ari Carmel, and others, and they were published in what's called Michtav Me'Eliyahu. So one of the letters that he sent, this is in the fifth volume, letter Kafei, he sent from Gateshead to the Talmidim in Panovich, and he sent it on Yom Shishi, Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, Taf Chet Shin. Now we're dealing in 1948, August 1948, Erev Rosh Chodesh Elul, August 1948. And that the Talmidim had asked him to come back to Eretz Yisrael to be with them for Yomim Noraim, because the previous year he had spent in Eretz Yisrael. In 1947, he was in Eretz Yisrael for Elul and for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot in Panovich. And so they asked him to return. So the first paragraph, he says that he received a telegram that they sent him, but he can't. He can't return now that he has a daughter who's involved in Shidduchim and the Chassan is in America, and so he has to travel to America in order to be able to finish the Shidduch. And so he can't come now. He feels terrible. He'd love to be in Eretz Yisrael, love to be with them. He feels horrible that he can't come. But then he has a paragraph which is eye-opening. Akavek itishtadlu b'chol oz lehitchazek kol ha-yeshiva yachad ki'ish echad b'hitchazkut rabo l'Rosh Hashanah habo aleinu l'tova. This Rosh Hashanah is different than any other Rosh Hashanah that you've lived through. Halohu yom hadin harishon l'vchon b'ma'aseinu ech kibalnu es hanisim hagluyim asher mara lanu Hashem yisbarach b'li hefsek b'shana zo. Every Rosh Hashanah is a Yom Hadin over our behavior for the last year. Our behavior is Torah u'mitzvos. Our behavior is how do we relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so HaKadosh Baruch Hu is testing us in terms of our ma'asim. How do we relate to the nisim gluyim that have taken place over the last 12 months without stop? Shona hu Rosh Hashanah zo mishal shar hashanim misha'avru. Ka'etu ha'cheshbon shel hit'alut ha'ruchanit. How do we relate to Siyim Nisim Gluyim? What does that do to us internally? How does it change us in terms of our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Maybe we'll just view it as Teva. Maybe Lo Aleinu will just view it as, it's nothing really that should shake us up. And we'll just go about our lives as we had previously. That we should be davening day and night that these nisim should continue. Nisim don't occur every day. That we should be worthy of the nisim that are coming upon us. Now, we're talking over here about a letter that was sent at a date in history. It was sent in August 1948. What nisim occurred between August 1947 and August 1948, between Rosh Chodesh Elul, Tafshin Zayin, and between Rosh Chodesh Elul, Tafshin Zayin, and Rosh Chodesh Elul, Tafshin Chet. What Nisim Gluyim is he referring to? So if one opens a history book, that there were two things that occurred in Kaftet November, in the 29th of November, 1947, right, that was within that 12 months period, there was a vote in the UN. There was a vote in the UN that there should be a partition, that the Jews should be given part of the British mandate of Palestine. There should be a partition between the Jews and the Arabs. That was in November 1947. And then in May of 1948, on Hay Iyar, a war began. A war began, and that war that began was still going on in August of 1948. That war continued for over a year. The armistice agreement wasn't until June of 1949. Namely, Rav Dessler is writing in the middle of a war, but there's an Nes Nigla that the Jews had not lost the war, that the Jews are still fighting a war, that there's a battle going on, and that the Jews hadn't lost. That's what Rav Dessler calls Nisim Gluyim. L'chora, he was working off of that which we say every day in Emes ve'emuna. Ha'ose gedolos adein cheker, nifla'os adein mispar. What are the gedolos adein cheker and nifla'os adein mispar? Hasam nafshenu b'chayim, v'lo nasam l'mot r'glenu. We're alive. The fact that a Jew is alive is a nes nigla. The fact that the Jews were fighting a battle and they hadn't lost, that was a nes nigla. And for those Nisim Gluyim, That's what Rav Dessler is saying. Kosh Baruch Hu is granting us gifts. The partition agreement was a gift. And we're fighting now a battle for our part in Eretz Yisrael, and we haven't lost. And we owe HaKadosh Baruch Hu a response for those gifts, and we have an opportunity to rise to the challenge of thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for those gifts. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to see how we're mit'aleh spiritually given those gifts. That's the context of the letter. Now, Rav Dessler came to Eretz Yisrael eventually. He came the following year in Iyar Tafshin Tet, and he died in Tafshin Yudalit. He died in 1954. In 1956, Rav Soloveitchik gave a drasha in YU in Yiddish that has been translated into Lashon HaKodesh with the title Kol Dudi Dofeik, and it was translated also into English. I think the title remained Kol Dudi Dofeik. Right? I don't know if they changed the title to English. Now, Rav Soloveitchik never saw this letter. In other words, even though this letter had been written in 1948, but it was only published in the 1990s, 1997. Wow. That's when the fifth volume was published. But he said the same thing as Rav Dessler, just from the perspective of 1956. Not from the perspective of 1948. And he also spoke about, so he expanded the set of Nisim Gluyim from the two that Rav Dessler spoke to about, that were asked by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to respond to six. Those six became more obvious between 1947 and 1956. And Rav Soloveitchik used as his text and his metaphor, Shir HaShirim Perek Chet, where we have the beautiful mashal of a couple who are very much in love. The young man has been away on a long trip. He returns at night. The young lady is sleeping in her room, ani yishena v'libi er. And all of a sudden, kol dudi dofek. Pischi li, achosi, ra'ayasi, yonasi, samasi. There's a knock in terms of endearment. And he explains, roshinim latal, kvutosayrasi seilayla. There's a dew, there's a mist of the night. Let me in. Let me in. I want to come in. And what's her response? Pashatati et kutanti, echa el bashena, rachatzti es raglai, echacha tanfein, a combination of laziness and apathy. No, it's go away. It's not interested now. Come back later, come back at a better time. And then all of a sudden she realizes, just a minute, that's my love. All this time I've been missing him. All this time I've been waiting for him. And so she jumps up to open the door. He left. And she searches, and to no avail. Very, very tragic. She missed her opportunity. And who knows when the next opportunity will come. That's what we find in Shir HaShirim. And the Rav posited that as a nation, we've been given an opportunity by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is knocking. It's an opportunity to end our galus. It's an opportunity to reunite with the Shechina, to return to Eretz Yisrael. Kol dodi dofek. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is knocking. And the Rav put down, he wrote about six knocks, six miraculous events that accompany the establishment of the State of Israel. Six wake-up calls in the night, in the darkness of the night. There's no darkness of the night like the Shoah. In the darkness of the night, post-Shoah, that there are these six knocks. The first two were the same Nisim Gluyim that Rav Dessler spoke about. And the Rav begins, Be'emet, with the first knock in the political realm, that United Nations agreed after the partition, not the partition, that which before, in other words, the United Nations agreed to recognize the State of Israel. Now, there was a Cold War at that time between America and the USSR. The America, United States, and the USSR never voted the same on any issue in the United Nations. And here, Truman instructed his ambassador to the UN, and Gromyko the ambassador of the USSR, they both voted for. They voted for the recognition of the state of Israel. The Rav felt that the whole UN probably was only created for that moment. It was a miracle, parallel to the miracle that Rav Dessler, l'chora, was relating to. The second, in the second knock, was in the military realm, that beyond the battle that Rav Dessler described that we hadn't lost, but we're dealing with the David and Goliath, we're dealing with the small state against armies of Arab nations, Arab and Biad Ma'atim, and we held ourselves out from 1948, 1956, we're still there. And Nes B'toch Nes, that the Arabs declared war. Had they not been foolish enough to declare war, we never would have, via the partition agreement, we never would have had Yerushalayim. That wasn't part of the partition. We never would have had half of the Galil. We never would have had a good part of the Negev. In other words, that it's like had Pyro not chased Klal Yisrael, so we would have returned to Mitzrayim after 3 days. In other words, that Kadosh Baruch Hu put into their mind to fight, and that brought about in Yeshua. Parallel to Milchemet Sheshet Yamim, had Jordan not joined the battle, we never would have had Yerushalayim, Hashleima, we never would have had Beit Lechem, Chevron, etc. The third knock was in the theological realm. Here the Rav pointed out that all of Christian doctrine, all of their theology is that they're the New Testament, they're the Brit HaChadasha, and we're the Old Testament, we're the Brit HaYishana. The proof of their, of the pudding of their doctrine is that our exile from Zion, that we were exiled from Zion, and we rejected Jesus, and so for that we were punished with being a wandering Jew, being a cursed Jew. And they are now the people of the covenant. They replaced us. They're the new Jews. And now their whole theology has been undermined, that we've returned. They didn't know how to swallow it. So in 1956, they were still going, they changed their theology that Zion means we were kicked out of Yerushalayim, right? Not that we were kicked out of Eretz Yisrael. 67, so what they had to say, well, we have to internationalize Yerushalayim. In other words, it can't be that the Jews should be in charge of Yerushalayim. That undermines our whole theology. So the first knock was in the military, was in the political realm. The second knock in the military realm. The third in the theological realm. The fourth in the sociological realm. You know, we speak about the Jews in America in the beginning of the 20th century, that already from the time of the Haskalah, from the time of the Enlightenment, there were waves upon waves of assimilation. And when the Jews came to America, basically they lost their identity as Jews. You're here now because your grandparents or great-grandparents, they were Moser Nefesh, to keep Shabbos, to keep Kashrus, but most Jews just became Americans. And they didn't want to be Jews. Being a Jew, they had to change their name. If they wanted to be someone in Hollywood, they wanted to be someone in business, so they changed their names, so they wouldn't have Jewish-sounding names. And with the Qum HaMedina, all of a sudden, it became sociologically positive to be a Jew, to be proud to be a Jew. I have a state that I want to support. And there are millions of Jews. That's what made them return to their Judaism, because they could buy Israel bonds, and they could come to visit their state, and they'll call themselves Zionists. Yom HaAtzmaut did that for American Jewry. Six-Day War did that for Russian Jewry. The whole birthright is that Israel will give a college student a Jewish identity, that he'll hopefully marry a Jewish girl, and there'll be Jewish continuity because he'll come to Eretz Yisrael for a week. That was the fourth miracle. A total change. In other words, I still remember Life magazine, and you know, Life magazine was a very powerful magazine, having a cover story on the disappearing Jew, that the Jews were disappearing, just disappearing. You know, there's going to be Hitler destroyed us in the gas chambers, but in America, the wealth of America is destroying the Jewish people. It'll be in a museum. The fifth knock was in the psychological realm of the world, that the whole world changes attitude towards a Jew, that Jewish blood is no longer hefker, that the Jews have to be reckoned with, that Jews have an army, they have a shin bet, they could defend themselves. If Jewish blood is spilled, it's going to be revenged. Every one of the Munich massacre perpetrators was killed, every one of them. A nuclear reactor in Iraq can be blown up. That the Jew is you know, that the Ukraine will turn to the Jewish people, Russia will turn to the Jewish people, that we're in a different place than we had been. Doesn't mean there's not anti-Semitism, but there's at least a degree of respect. And the final knock that the Rav mentioned was in terms of what's more a Nes Goli than a Kiyum of a Nevuah that was said thousands of years ago. And what, not one Nevuah, but Nevuah after Nevuah, Kibbutz Golios, Jews from all around the world, thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions from the Arab nations, from Russia, from Ethiopia, the B'nai Menashe, from India, from Yemen, from France, even some from the United States, right? And then Psukim, we have a pasuk in Zechariah, O Yeshu Zekenim Uzekenos, Berechovos Yerushalayim, Urechovos Yerim Alei Yeladim. That's not a nevuah, that's a reality. Odishama Bare Yehuda, Uvechutzos Yerushalayim, Kol Sason V'Kol Simcha, Kol Chason V'Kol Kala. All the nevuahs in Yeshayahu about the land blossoming, the desert blossoming. So these are the knocks, namely that Rav Dessler and Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that the state of Israel is not a Maisa Satan on one hand, and it's not an Aschalta de Geula on the other hand. Both of them said it black and white, that it's not an Aschalta de Geula. It's in a letter of Dessler and Chelek Gimel, page 352. And the Rav has been quoted many times. It's not an Aschalta de Geula. And it's not a secular entity. It's a gift of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu knocking. He's giving us an opportunity to reach our potential. But not more than that. Namely, there's no guarantee. About 48 years ago, I took my wife for the first time to America. My brother was getting married in Boston. And my wife said, I'd like to meet Rav Soloveitchik. Heard so much of Rav Soloveitchik. Like to meet Rav Soloveitchik. Okay. So it was still August before the yeshiva began. The Rav was in Boston, post-onset. And so I called the Twerskys, asked, can I bring my wife over? Brought my wife over. And she told the Rav that she had learned Kol Dodi Dofek in high school, in Chorev. And in Yerushalayim, there's a tradition which is known as a brisker tradition that there's not going to be another Churban. That this Yishuv in Eretz Yisrael, no matter how one may view it, but it's not going to end with a Churban. And she wanted to know whether the Rav had such a tradition as well. Did the Rav hear that from his father, from Reb Chaim, that when the Jews come back to Eretz Yisrael, there's not going to be another Churban? So the Rav said, he had no tradition. He wasn't aware of that tradition. So then my wife asked him, well, what do you think? Do you think it's true? So the Rav sat and put his hands on his head and just sat there quietly. And he said three words, I don't know. I don't know. This is parallel to Rav Dessler. Kosh Baruch Hu is waiting to see how we react to the gift. That's the Yom Hadin. How do we react to a knock on the door? How do you react to a gift? And in that respect, we have a story in Shir HaShirim that ended tragically, and we have a renewal of that story. And it's totally, in other words, in terms of how we react, are we going to react with the apathy, with the laziness, or are we going to do something about the gift? I think that had the Rav given this drasha, not in 1956, and I've said this a number of occasions, including last year here on Yom HaAtzmaut, and the year before, that had the Rav given that drasha in 1976 or 1986 or 1996, he would have added a seventh knock, but that wasn't apparent in 1956. Seven already is a number that we feel very comfortable with, right? There's a Medrash Rabbah in Vayikra, Kol Shviin Chaviven. There we have Shemitah, and we have Shabbos, and we have Chodesh HaShvi, and we have Moshe Rabbeinu being the seventh generation from Avraham Avinu, and we have David HaMelech being the seventh son of Yishai. The seventh is a very, very special number. And the seventh knock is in a realm that we feel daily, and that's in the spiritual realm, in the fulfillment of the Nevuah of Yeshayahu. Ki mitzion teitze Torah udvar Hashem Yerushalayim. That Eretz Yisrael is the Torah center of the world. Not since the days of Rav Yehuda HaNossi has Eretz Yisrael filled that role. Not since Michi Ossi Rav LeBavel has Eretz Yisrael exported Torah. Namely, for 1,700 years, the center of Torah was in Bavel, in Sfarad, Ashkenaz, North Africa, America. Eastern Europe, and now Eretz Yisrael exports Torah. 90% of modern Orthodox high school graduates spend a year in Israel. 90% of Beis Yaakov graduates spend a year in Sem. The Haredi men come here for their years of Kollel. The whole Baal Tshuva movement began in Boston with the Boston Rebbe, but then it moved to Eretz Yisrael after the Six-Day War. The fact that you're here, that there's a Grus Kollel. The fact that this past Shabbos, Rav Bednarz hopefully will have a rest, but he joined Echves, another 100 Rabbanim who went from Eretz Yisrael just to give a drasha in America, went to America 48 hours. In other words, this is unprecedented. This is be'emet, an unprecedented phenomenon. I quote a statage for you from the Nesiv Shalom. He says that we have to understand the whole mavel of the Chelok Aleph Nesiv Shalom deals with Behiris Hadas, how a Jew should have clarity of thought. And he points out that we have to understand that we're living in a tkufa requires a chovas hisbonenus gedola mamika al dorenu tkufa senu. We're dealing in a tkufa which is a door mufla, which doesn't have a precedent in Jewish history. In other words, the gishmei bracha beichalei haTorah hayeshivos, the world of Bali Tshuva, the world of kolalim. In other words, he says kol ze hador hazeh korei olanu l'gedulot, that you just can't go ahead and no one should be insulted, please. Can be a lawyer or a doctor or an accountant. I mean, 100 years ago, that would have been great. But Akash Baruch Hu created us in a new world, and he's giving us this gift, these gifts of knocking and knocking and knocking, and Akash Baruch Hu is waiting to see what we're doing with these gifts. So in my humble, humble, humble opinion, we should try and take today to Hakara Satov, to all of those who gave their lives that we should be able to live here. And tomorrow, to Hakaras HaTov to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for the gift that he is granting us. But then, to be misbonin, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu want from us? Well, what was Rav Dessler referring to? What was the Rav referring to? Like, what is each of us as an individual supposed to, how is he supposed to relate to the gifts that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is currently giving us, knowing that there are no guarantees. Knowing that there are no guarantees. That HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that what will be in accordance with our reaction to the gifts as a tzibur, but also as yichid. That requires hisbonenus. Those of you who are married, so sit and talk to your wives. That she's your best friend. And she probably will understand what I'm saying even more than me. So that's really what my humble opinion, what Yom Ha'atzmut should be. It should be a Yom Hitbonenut, a day of Cheshbon HaNefesh. Okay, in other words, I have, again, there. I can look at Eretz Yisrael in one of four ways. I put them all on the table. Choose whichever one you want. If you're choosing the fourth derech, so then think like, what does that mean? What does that mean for me in terms of the kochos hanefesh, the Kach Baruch Hu gave me, in terms of the situation in which I find myself, and what would he want? What would be Ratzon Hashem in terms of my relationship, not to Torah or Mitzvos? Everyone knows what our relationship be to Torah or Mitzvos, but our relationship to a gift which is above and beyond, which are Nisim Gluyim. Okay, we should all have a meaningful Yom HaZikaron and Yom Yerushalayim and Yom Ha'atzmaut.
Shem Koach, Shem Koach.